Phil Carter of the Center for a New American Security, tweeting two stories from the New York Times, and one of them regarding concussions and findings about concussions in the Army, the other regarding the way that the Army tried to shape the coverage of the concussion issue inside the Army. Phil, thanks for joining me today, as always. Why did you think these stories were important to point out to people? Thanks for your time today.
So the concussion story struck me as important on a few levels. First, we should worry any time people are being wounded in the line of duty. And there are scores of cadets each year that are leaving the boxing ring for their mandatory boxing during their first year with concussions that sideline them for a few days and potentially have longer-term effects. And that's bad, and we should worry about it. What's more worrying about it, though, is the way the academy leadership embraces this almost like a formal hazing ritual. And this is even alongside of other things that are more mission-focused, like combatives training, where these West Point cadets learn the ins and outs of hand-to-hand combat. They still hold on to boxing as important as part of their heritage and as part of their lineage, despite the medical harm. And that just worries me as a former Army officer and combat veteran that sees a little bit less value in these things.
The New York Times story says in the last three academic years, West Point has documented 97 concussions from boxing, more than any other sport, including football. The Air Force Academy has reported 72 and the Naval Academy 29. So there are some differences as far as the raw numbers. We don't have context for those numbers. And the Times story also notes that boxing isn't required training for students in ROTC at other colleges or for enlisted personnel. The enlisted personnel obviously more likely to engage in hand-to-hand combat than West Point graduates and other officers. The troubling piece of this for me was not so much the boxing, although I've never boxed and I'm not sure I understand the pertinence of it to hand-to-hand combat. The troubling story that you tweeted was the story about the way that the Army wanted to frame the coverage of concussions, not just of the boxing program at West Point, but we had the pillow fight episode not too long ago in which 20-some cadets wound up being treated for concussions and other issues. And not just the framing of the concussion issue, Phil, but also a document that seems to indicate that this is something that goes on an ongoing basis about medical care and coverage inside the Army.
That's right. So the New York Times has a recently hired reporter, Dave Phillips, who won a Pulitzer for his coverage of veterans with bad paper at the Colorado Springs Gazette, that is veterans with discharges that are less than honorable. And he's been doing a series of reports on stories out of West Point that that institution understandably doesn't like. And so on a recent visit to the Pentagon, according to a document that Dave Phillips got, General Caslin, the three-star superintendent of West Point, met with General Patricia Horahoe, the three-star Surgeon General of the Army, and the two of them discussed ways to skew, alter, preempt, or change the coverage of the New York Times of this particular story. That is particularly troubling. The Surgeon General is the custodian of the Army's mind and body. The superintendent of West Point is responsible for the character of the Army as embodied in West Point's graduates. And for the two of them to be taking this role and trying to alter the coverage of one of the nation's leading newspapers about the health of West Point cadets is really disturbing to me.
The story says during a September 16th meeting at the Pentagon, so this is a recent episode, the Army Surgeon General, Lieutenant General Patricia Horahoe, recommended to the superintendent at West Point, Lieutenant General Robert Caslin Jr., that the Army delay responding to the New York Times request. General Horahoe then suggested trying to get the Wall Street Journal or USA Today to publish an article about a more favorable Army study on concussions. Phil, I've never been in the Army, but my understanding is that there are doctrines that this seems to go against regarding the dissemination of information about what goes on inside the Army.
Well, right, and there are laws too. They are essentially trying to game the timelines of the Freedom of Information Act here to try to work in parallel to plant other stories. There's something even more fundamental. The West Point Honor Code says, I will not lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate those that do. This doesn't necessarily rise to that level, but there are shades of cheating here when you're trying to game the system of the Freedom of Information Act and change the coverage of your institution in the newspaper and downplay facts like this. This is really disturbing behavior if it's true. And I think the story about the cover-up, as is often the case in Washington, is probably the more explosive story here. The concussion story is bad, but this other one is much more explosive if true.
The story says that General Jarojo said in a phone interview that she'd been misquoted after learning that the document had been given to the New York Times, the document meaning the synopsis of this meeting a couple of weeks ago in September. She also stated, "I am flat out angry about this. Of all the topics, this one is very important to me." General Caslin said the document had inaccurately portrayed my discussion with Lieutenant General Jarojo. The problem that it strikes me that we have, Phil, is that we have now we said, they said, vis-a-vis the Army and the New York Times. Am I reading this accurately?
You are reading it accurately, and the interesting thing is that the document in question, these are the notes of some of the mid-grade officers who accompanied General Caslin on his Pentagon visit. So General Jarojo is essentially saying that these aides did not capture the discussions properly or improperly quoted her. That may be the case, but there are other incidents related in those notes relating to previous coverage at Fort Carson, Colorado, and elsewhere. And there's almost surely a paper trail related to those things. And I'm willing to bet that Dave Phillips, as an Intrepid reporter, has already filed his FOIA request for all of those documents. And this trail will probably uncover more things like this, and that will be problematic. This is the time for the Army to come clean and essentially issue a mea culpa and just do the right thing.
So there are two issues at stake. There's the concussion issue, as always. Everybody that's dealt with concussions any time in the last several years finds that to be a controversial and delicate issue to deal with. There is also then the issue of the information dissemination. And as a journalist, the problem that I find that this it becomes, Phil, is that it feeds a narrative that people have had for maybe half a century, maybe longer, that the military is not always honest about issues that appear to be problematic to it.
I mean, I hear you. I don't know that I'd go that far. I think what this illustrates is just how high the stakes can be and how high they're felt within the military and how the military feels compelled, much like a corporation branding itself in the marketplace, to really compete in this marketplace of ideas, to push its agenda, to get its version of the truth out there. And just how aggressive certain generals can be, assuming this report is accurate, in the pursuit of that agenda. I think we have to ask ourselves whether that's consistent with the standards we want for our senior uniformed leadership of our nation's largest military service.